So 0500 909 693 is our number if you'd like to join us for this morning's Monday morning travel phone-in. So the question that we're asking, broadly speaking, is the sand, sea and air holiday versus the more cultural break. Which do you prefer? Which is the more preferable holiday in your household? Is it to sit on the beach and do absolutely nothing and to spread on some suntan lotion and bask in the sunshine and forget about your worries back home, wherever that might be? Or do you prefer doing a bit of legwork on your holidays, you know, visiting the sites, as it were, and going to tour around a city and to soak in the cultural offerings of wherever you may be on holiday? Which is the holiday that you prefer? Examples, please, on 85058 by text, email uplnight@bbc.co.uk, or pick up the phone and give us a call on 0500 909 693 and talk to our guest, the travel writer and broadcaster Andy Mossack from tripreporter.co.uk, who is here with us. And Andy, broadly speaking, I know you've just come back from a trip to the United States, amongst other things, and a trip to Turkey, amongst other things. Yes. And Turkey's got to be a cultural holiday for me, but for many people, it's just, let's get one of those all-inclusives and sit by the beach and forget the hard work that we've been doing at home to be able to afford this. For you, though, as a travel writer, which is the kind of holiday that you best desire? Is it do nothing on the beach? I can see you now doing nothing, absolutely nothing on the beach.
You know, it's all a mystery, isn't it?
Yeah, it is
doing
a mystery.
Nothing. Yeah. I just sit with my feet up, sipping a pina colada under an
umbrella. Oh, great.
All my friends think that's, you know, it's the easiest job in the world.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
And the beach is right there. And you can dip your feet into the ocean.
Yeah.
And do you still wear one of those kerchiefs on your heads, you know, like the Brit holiday makers are known to do as well, and do absolutely nothing and roll up your trouser legs as well?
If only that was true.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if only that was.
But true. Is that the preferable holiday for you or not?
Absolutely not. No, no.
No?
No.
What's wrong with sitting on the beach and doing nothing?
It's okay for maybe for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably quite nice.
2 weeks?
No. I kind of get a bit stir-crazy.
Come on.
Stir-crazy.
Andy, come on. Some of us do some dreary jobs in this country. Look at me, for example. When I get a break, I want to sit by the beach and do absolutely nothing. What's wrong with that?
Do you know, my wife, you know, she's one of her biggest complaints is that I'm always working. You know, there's
even when
no
you're on holiday. Yeah, of course.
As a holiday.
Yeah, well.
Because I'm checking out whether the sun beds are good or whether the service is any good in the hotel, or, you know, how far are we from the somewhere where we can walk to.
Okay, so I shouldn't be asking you. I should be asking your wife, which is the preferable holiday for her? Does she prefer to just sit on the beach and forget the, I'm sure it's not a dreary life she lives back in the UK, but the drudge of everyday life in the UK?
Yeah.
Does she prefer to do that, or does she prefer to traipse around with you looking at museums and that kind of all kind of pointy-headed stuff?
The truth is, actually, in her head, she wants to just sit on the beach listening to the sea and reading a book.
You see? Right? You see? Which beach does she prefer the most? Which is the best beach for her in that case?
I took her to the Seychelles recently. And you don't
get
much
out of my price range
than that.
You had to say that. I was hoping you'd say Bognor Regis or something. That's out of my price range.
It was pretty good.
It was pretty good. How good is the beach there? Is it the beach experience?
I've got to tell you, it's probably the picture postcard beach, right? Turquoise water, white sand, very soft. Just, it is what you expect.
Indian Ocean, is it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's everything and more.
Yeah. You see, what I feel as if in places like that, which have got such great beaches, you neglect any cultural type of holiday there, even though they've got rich cultural offerings.
They have.
People go there and just enjoy the beach because that's what it's known for. And we do neglect, don't we? I mean, who can tell us about the culture of Seychelles? I don't know. I can't tell you
it's
anything.
It's Creole.
Never. Is it Creole?
It's Creole, yeah. Yeah. And French.
And what's the history of...
It's beautiful because if you think about it, the French did a number on it for a number of years. So they've got the kind of... They call it Creole French, but it's kind of... It's weird because, you know, the French would say bonjour as a hello. They say bonjour. So it's, you know, that's what fascinates me. You know, language, the way it evolves is brilliant. It's the same in Montreal and Quebec. They have a.
I can't understand their French. I don't know.
It's old French.
It's 100 years old.
It's a bit
like
old. Yeah. French. Yeah. You know, if you say verily forsooth.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Basically,
yeah. I did travel with a French Canadian okay. in France.
Yeah.
And even me with my O level schoolboy French, yeah. people, you know, accepted that. But when they heard him, they all roared around with laughter.
They do. But then the English had a go in the Seychelles. Yeah. Okay. So then we had sort of 200 years of British rule. So you've got a real amalgam of different people, but they're lovely, lovely people. And there is a fantastic history there.
But nevertheless, you'd recommend going there and enjoying the beach rather than the history, wouldn't you?
My wife would, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to throw you in. I'm throwing the Mossack family generally into that perception. 0500 909 693. So what is the holiday for you? And the reason that we're, I suppose, juxtaposing the two types of holiday that you can enjoy is because we're coming up to Easter. Now, for many people, Easter has become just a way to get away from it, or an opportunity for a break from your everyday lives. And invariably, people want sun. Invariably, people want beach.
Yeah.
Invariably, people want sea.
Yeah.
They don't invariably want the kind of cultural holiday that Judith in Winchester texts me to say that she had a couple of years back when she was in Northumberland, which she loves anyway, and she drove out to see Easter sunrise on Lindisfarne after checking the tides, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It was profoundly moving. Mm-hmm. How many people enjoy that kind of Easter break, do you think?
Well, again, I would say that England at times is probably one of the greatest places to be, particularly some beautiful places like the Cornish coast or Lindisfarne up on the northeast. You know, it's just amazing. And we forget sometimes that I think Britain in summer has the most fantastic days, really. You know, we don't do it justice.
So where would you recommend for Easter, then? Where are the best places in England rather than Britain, you said?
Well,
you said England, didn't you?
I'd say...
Rather than Britain.
That's probably...
Don't forget the Scots. They're not going to be very happy about what you've said.
How can you forget the Highlands?
Too late now. Not to talk of Wales and Northern Ireland, but...
Yeah,
you walked right in there, and I let you walk in there, because I thought, well, you've got to wear your heart on your sleeve, mate. You can't back out of it. You mean England, say England.
Yeah, Britain.
Yeah, no, backtracking. United Kingdom, just encapsulate everything. Why not? But where is the best place then in the UK for Easter, would you say? Where would you recommend?
I would say you've got... I love the Atlantic coast down in the southwest coastal path. If you like a bit of... Well, it's not a lot... Well, there is beaches, but there's fantastic walking country. You know, really just some unbelievable sights. And I did about 50 miles of the coastal path last year.
How long did that take?
Oh, man, it was the hardest walk I've ever
done. Of course it is.
In my life.
Yeah, I could have told you that. How long did it take?
It took 4 days.
So you could only do 10 miles a day?
Yeah, absolutely.
10 or 12 and a half miles a day.
Climbing down and climbing up.
Not uphill as well.
Tintagel Castle. You know,
surely they've got chairlifts for that.
Nothing.
Gentlemen of a certain age, you know what I mean?
What are you saying?
No, I'm including myself in there. I'm embracing it. I'm embracing it. Come on, let's get the chairlift.
It was windy.
Yeah.
Waves were crashing in, and it was unbelievable. And the only thing that I had to look forward to is that little dram of whiskey at the end of the day.
And you call that... you're recommending that for the rest
brilliant.
Of us.
Absolutely.
You're just recommending the dram of whiskey, or recommending everything else as well.
That's fantastic. Actually, one of my all-time favourites, actually, is a little bit unique. It's a place called Port Lyme.
I've heard of Port Lyme, wasn't it?
Well, it's Kent.
Okay.
Okay. And it's a bit of like Africa in England.
No.
Seriously.
In which way?
The which ways? I'm talking wildlife.
Yeah.
I'm talking...
What, they've got zebras
giraffes,
there or something?
Zebras,
no.
Hippos.
On. It's a zoo.
No, it's not a zoo.
Come on.
It's not a zoo. It's called the Port Lyme Wildlife Park, but it's, you know, the Aspinall Wildlife Park.
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, they've just started doing glamping.
Okay.
And you effectively are in a tent around a water hole.
Yeah.
And the animals come and gather at dusk. to come and
Which animals are we talking about?
We're talking elephants, hippopotami, lots of four-legged friends, let's put it that way.
And you're in a tent?
You're in a tent near them, and it's just this unbelievable experience. Yeah. It's like
are you fenced off away from them? Sorry that I have to ask these things, because you see, I'm from Africa. We try and stay well away from when elephants have decided to come and march through.
No. They don't do that. They don't do that. Of course they do. Yeah. It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
But these tents are pretty spacious. They have central heating, believe it or not.
They do.
They have four-poster beds in them.
Mm.
And then you get a kind of an African experience meal at a dinner in a restaurant which is there too, called the Lapa.
And what about the African sunshine? Do you get any of that?
I think the only thing's missing is possibly the odd Zulu dancing.
I was with you till that point.
But it's a safari. You get a 2-hour safari in.
And that's Port Lim.
Port Lim. Safari Park, yeah. It's called Elephant Lodge.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to check that out, I'm not joking. I'll do it on a sunny day, of course.
Saving you the airfare.
Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate that. 0500 909 693. Yeah, I'm not the one who's saving you the airfare. It's our guest, Andy Mossack. If you've got any thoughts on travel plans for him, any suggestions for our listeners, and if you'd like to ask him anything about your travel plans as well, I'm sure that he can help you. He's from tripreporter.co.uk. We've got Anne in Jersey with us. Anne, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dalton. How are you?
Very well, thanks very much. Good to speak to you. Are you suggesting a holiday place, or are you asking Andy for some recommendations?
No, I'm suggesting Jersey.
Yeah, well, he kind of included Jersey when he said England, didn't he? So that's okay.
Yeah.
Why Jersey then?
Well,
why would
we
you?
We are English.
Of course you are.
This is the thing.
We are
a protectorate of the British Isles.
Despite the fact that you're virtually on France's doorstep, of course you're English.
Well, yes, and it does have its moments, you know, with France and all the rest of it. But
why would you recommend Jersey for an Easter break?
Because Jersey at Easter time, you can drive along all the little side roads, and they've all got daffodils flying up all over the place. There's some beautiful, beautiful parishes. There are 12 parishes. Each one is different. You can go, you can chat to the people. They'll tell you anything that you want to know. There's the museums. There's the underground when Jersey was under German tyranny.
And do they still have that flower festival?
Oh, yes.
The Battle of the Flowers, isn't it what it's called?
Yes. That's
a magnificent sight, isn't it?
The most marvellous thing to see.
Mm. Mm.
When did you last see it?
Last year.
Did you go to the Midnight Parade?
I didn't. And I tell you why, because I had four goes at getting there because the plane had to get turned around four times.
Oh, God,
because
yes,
of bad weather.
Yes. Yeah.
They couldn't see the runway. But anyway, that's beside the point, right? It's a beautiful island, I must say. And the food, why is it Portuguese food?
Because there are a lot of Portuguese people who live here.
Why do you think that is? Why are they? Because it's an island, maybe?
Well, not only that, but many years ago, the Portuguese people used to come and they used to pick the potatoes. They used to work in all the fields.
Ah, okay.
And so a lot of them have opened their own restaurants.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have food fairs, and that's for the Scottish, for the Irish,
right,
for the Portuguese, the Polish.
Yeah.
You name it, they're all there.
I agree with you, Anne. I think Jersey's got a bit of a bad reputation because it's seen potentially as, you know, a place for people to put their money, you know, sort of tax-free and all that sort of thing. But I think that's kind of less now, isn't it?
Oh, very much so, very much so. I mean, you can, well, they tell you that if anybody was to come over from the mainland, they'd open their books to them.
Yeah.
That's how sure they are about themselves.
What about the beaches, Anne? Come on, tell us about the beaches, because I don't know about Andy, but I just want to lie in the sun. Is Jersey the place that I should go to?
Oh, yes. Well, you can do that all right, bunny lad. You're not kidding. Get yourself down to Simpralord.
Yeah. Which, sorry, where?
To Simpralord.
Simpralord, okay. And yeah, is that the best beach?
Well, a lot of people say yes. But my favourite beach is Goree.
Yeah, Goree.
And it's a little village.
It is.
And they've got beautiful restaurants there.
They have. Do you know they have this thing? I interviewed a Michelin chef down there. And he said that from the farm to the fork, they have 15 minutes.
Exactly.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Hang on.
There's not many places you could say that.
I don't mind if you butcher the animal half an hour before. It doesn't have to be that quick.
Oh, you like, doctor.
I don't know what I'm like. Look, I don't want any cultural things spoiling my holiday, as you know, Anne. But for those who do, what would you recommend culturally in Jersey? What's the best thing?
Well, culturally, for me, there's a museum. You can go into the States building.
Yeah.
And you can find out all about the state sittings and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you can go into the parishes. Each parish is different.
Yeah.
Each parish has something different to offer.
Mm.
Or you can go, you can walk right round from the, well, I should say the bus station. Huge walk right round to St. Albans Fort. Beautiful, right. And there's a fort at the end of it.
How long does it take to walk around the whole island?
Well, around the whole island?
Yeah. Can I do that in a couple of hours?
You've got to be joking. No chance.
Just checking. Okay. I've got an option of Jersey, Guernsey and Sark. Why you've Jersey? What's Jersey got that Guernsey hasn't?
Listen, the Channel Islands are all beautiful.
They're all beautiful.
And they're all different in their own life. But what makes you think we've only got three?
No, I was just saying those are the choices available to me. How many more have I got to choose from, Andy?
You've got Jersey, yeah. Guernsey,
yeah.
Alderney,
yeah.
Sark.
And, how about the Scilly Isles? Is that too far? No, that's too far.
And you can take boat trips round. Sark is a fantastic island.
Yeah,
okay. Absolutely.
I tell you what I like about the Channel Islands is the Norman history, because you know you say it's English, but I think it's, to be honest, it's English sort of by a technicality.
Yeah,
it's they voted to be allied to England.
Yeah,
And you've got all these Norman names, so you know you've got the streets have very kind of old French names, don't they?
And then you've got Bergerac,
yes,
of course.
Yes,
Bergerac. Yeah.
Yeah, let's not forget
and,
that.
I must say, the cows, of course.
Oh,
cows,
yes.
That's English. Cows. Oh, cows. Sure, I thought that was
Guernsey,
a name.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
Jersey.
COWES.
Jersey cows. Jersey milk is supposed to be
beautiful.
Yeah. Absolutely beautiful. And Jersey potatoes.
Okay. Look, you've convinced me. We're all coming to Jersey.
Yeah.
Were you and your neighbours not mine then that millions of us are coming over your way for the Easter?
Not at all.
You won't mind?
Not in the least. Nobody would mind.
I'm going to tell all your angry neighbours it was Anne that invited us. So. Anne, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and thank you very much for recommending Jersey on the programme.
Thank you for letting me have 5 minutes and blowing this little island's trumpet.
Actually, it was 10 minutes, but who's counting, eh?
Anne, you're an angel. Thank you very much, Jordan.
Thank you. Yeah, my pleasure. 0500 909 693. Don't all rush to go to Jersey just yet. We've still got another hour of this phoning to go. Where would your recommendation be for Easter? Would it be beach or would it be cultural? And where would that be? 0500 909 693. But first, let's get the latest Five Live headlines from Carissa Chatterton.
On digital, online, smartphone and tablet. This. TV, downloads and online.
This is BBC Radio Five Live. Up all night
with Dotun Adebayo.
So the number to call is 0500 909 693. If you'd like to join in our Monday morning travel phone-in, Andrew Mossack is here. He's our guest this morning. Travel expert who's here to perhaps recommend some travel locations for you, travel destinations. Andrew Mossack writes for tripreporter.co.uk. But you can also recommend some suggestions yourself. Remember, the broad argument that we were trying to get through this morning is just about whether, when you have a break, an Easter break, as for example, an Easter break, as we're having now. So it's not a long holiday. It's what it says on the tin. It's a break, a few days away. Do you prefer to get away and just do absolutely nothing on a beach or wherever that may be, or, you know, in a hotel or whatever? Do you prefer to just get away from it all? Or do you feel that a break is an opportunity to submerge yourself in the cultural diversity of wherever it is that you've gone to? Which do you prefer, the sort of cultural break or just the get away from it all on a beach break? 0500 909 693. If you're going to go for the beach, you're going to have to give me an idea of which beach it is that is worth getting away from it all on. 0500 909 693. Text us on 85058. Email uppallnight@bbc.co.uk. Incidentally, Andy, Jim in Sandgate says the safari park in Kent that you were talking about is Port Limpney. Is it Limpney?
It's Limpney? Spelt Limpney, but it's pronounced Lim.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he says the site, it's a site of a Roman seaport. Kent has as much to offer as anywhere. The safari park, 3 miles from Folkestone, is a world leader and betters anything you may have in Africa. What?
Yeah.
Come on, mate. Betters anything you may have in Africa. Come.
You know something? They are the world leaders in producing black rhino.
Okay.
They're reintroducing black and white rhino back into Africa.
Yeah, but are you telling me that Port Lim is more of a safari park than the Serengeti? Come on.
They call it the Serengeti Experience.
Of course they call it that, because it's not the Serengeti.
Obviously not.
The next best thing without taking a... Come on, Andy. Honestly, I'm happy to admit it is, if it is. But
I got the chills. Yeah. I got the chills standing there watching these wonderful animals up close in their natural surroundings, just coming up and, you know, having a bit of a laugh with each other, and it was great. And you wouldn't have to drive miles that you would have to do in the Serengeti.
Yeah, and Jim says, by the way, I should have read this bit before I started smirking, because he says it's a world leader, better than anything you may have in Africa. In fact, endangered species are bred there and released back into the wild, so less smirking, thanks. Okay, if we've got that. Cheers.
Top left-hand corner.
Top left-hand corner from me. What?
Reintroducing species back into Africa.
Okay, so top left-hand corner. Yeah, you've got it banging. So that's your hat trick, is it, Andy? Yeah, well done. Well done. I'm way behind.
I'm
obviously getting relegated from this conversation very soon. Let's speak to Dave in Cheadle, who's with us. Dave, good morning.
Good morrow.
Good morrow. Is it as Richard III's
Hail,
influence?
Fellow, well met.
Yeah, exactly. Look, we just... it's Richard III. Everybody's speaking in Shakespearean language since he was buried.
I was doing it well before they found him.
Good for you. So, Dave...
I'll also say felicitations frequently as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll say welcome to the programme. Often. What about getaways, though, and the kind of Easter getaways that
is upon us? I've never been on a beach in my life.
Never?
Never.
On any beach?
Well, maybe one of about 4 or 5. The thing is, I've got bad skin.
Yeah.
And I always got laughed at because of all the scabs.
Okay.
And the sand gets in your shoes, doesn't it?
Sorry?
I try to look for a train journey.
So you opt for that? I mean, is it just because of the skin issues then?
Yes.
Really?
So I've still got it. I'm still frequently covered in bandages.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm 56.
Fair enough, I understand. But would you not enjoy a beach holiday?
No, not at all. Not at all, no.
So where do you go to then?
I'll go anywhere. The one I really want to do is Indo Pacific in Australia, coast to coast train.
Yeah.
I can't afford it.
Andy? He can't afford it. Can you help him?
Can I help him?
Yeah, financially. Well,
financially.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, sure. I don't mind starting a little charity for Dave, if you like, you know.
But is that a good destination?
Any coast to coast. So you see all the culture, one in Canada.
Dave, do you know the best place to go for coast to coast? Panama. What? You can go from one ocean to the other in 45 minutes.
That's true.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And go carnival time, because then it's all happening then.
Yeah, and
I'm a solitary person.
Oh, are you?
I don't like crowds.
Well, where can I think of for you to go coast to coast without meeting many people? I'm running out of options here, mate.
I don't mind meeting the odd person,
yeah,
but not at carnival time. Not
okay,
crowds.
Okay. Well, so go to Panama, but not at carnival time. So what is? Let's get the idea from Dave. Just bear with us a moment, Dave. Let's get the idea from Andy of what you're going to experience if you go coast to coast in Panama. What's the big deal from seeing one ocean to the other? Well, is there much of a difference?
Yeah, totally different. You've got the Atlantic and the Pacific. But the great thing about Panama is you've got this colonial Spanish history everywhere. So it's kind of, you've got these beautiful buildings which have not, you know, been protected in any way, which is sad. But on the other hand, you know, you can clamber and walk all over these incredible old buildings. And then you've got the Panama Canal, which is just jaw-dropping. You know, when you see these massive ships just slipping by with maybe 6 inches spare on each side.
It's got islands in it as well, hasn't it?
It has, that's right, that's right. Yeah. And you can take a little boat out on the canal and just zip by all these amazing ships. So that's a pretty good thing to do. And then on the other side, on the Pacific side, there's over 1,000 islands to explore. Yeah. Off the coast of Panama, so it's a pretty cool place.
I always get the impression that it's...
But I like the birds anyway.
You like the what?
Birds.
Okay, yeah. And the wildlife in
Birding.
General.
Birding. Yeah.
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 I always get the feeling that Panama's kind of American because, you know, the Americans built that Panama Canal, for example. Yeah. And there's a lot of American influences there.
Well, it was built, they had a go in about the 1500s.
Yeah, the French did that.
They dug out a canal, and quite a few people lost their lives doing that, I believe. So there's a lot of history in terms of trying to get a canal built through. Mm. But before that, they used to do the horses, and they used to lug stuff across from one side to the other.
Really?
Yeah, the Spanish, yeah. Because Panama was really where the Spanish took the gold from.
Yeah.
From right through South America. And then they used to load up the ships in Panama and then go across back to Spain with all their loot.
Dave, where's the best place you've been to? Where's the best place you've been to on a break?
Vegas.
Vegas.
Yeah.
I thought you didn't like crowds.
Yeah. No. If you go somewhere near Christmas, you don't get a lot.
You don't get a lot. Right. And, of course, there's a lot of desert around it as well, of course.
I've been there 7 times.
7 times?
Yeah.
How much did you win?
The last time I won, it was $2,000.
Did you?
Okay. And how much have you lost?
About the same.
About the same. So you even quit.
Yeah, but the daft part that I found, when I was there, every night was about $120.
Pretty good.
For the room.
Right.
And, of course, the food is virtually free at those casinos, isn't
it? No, not anymore, it's not.
Not anymore?
No.
Ah, you missed out.
Are you a buffet man, then?
Well, yeah.
Right.
No, I tend to go early morning, just have a steak for breakfast, and that's it. I have nothing else.
But if you're not into your gambling, what else is there to do in Vegas?
No,
tips,
what I'm saying, as I was telling you both to put it in,
yeah.
Every room's about 120 a night.
Mm-hmm.
But for New Year's Eve into New Year, it's about 330.
Mm-hmm.
So they triple it.
Okay, but... Yeah,
but nobody's in the room. They're all watching the fireworks outside.
Yeah. But what I was saying is, if you don't like the gambling, what else is there to do in Vegas apart from getting married?
Every big hotel's got its own theme. You just go and see what the theme is.
It's a big amusement park, isn't it, for grown-ups?
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember, I think it was a Mirage.
Yeah. I've stayed there.
I was talking to someone on the desk, trying to get information.
Yeah.
And she's a huge aquarium in her. While I'm talking to her, she's got a hammer and a shark going in one and coming out the other.
Well, that's Vegas for you, mate. Appreciate the call, Dave. Yeah, Vegas and Adult Playground. Thanks very much, 0500-909-693. Would you recommend Vegas as well, Andy? Would you recommend it?
I love it. I go people
love
watching
it.
In Vegas. Yeah, people watching.
I thought you were a cultural kind of person.
Oh, I, no, well, culture you, you've in Vegas. Got to try everything, haven't
no
you?
No culture there, is there?
There is.
What, the Flamingo Hotel? Yeah, okay. A hotel that's 50 years old. That's the culture, isn't
it? If you stay in the Paris Hotel, they speak French to you. Well, they used to say bonjour. Yeah,
but what, if I want to go say bonjour, I'll go over to Paris. Why am I going to Las Vegas to hear somebody pretend to be French?
Or the fake Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, the fake Eiffel Tower is quite funny.
Yeah.
I stayed in the fake pyramid, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can stay there as well. Yeah, the Luxor, yeah. And there are lots of fake business there, but there's no real culture in Vegas, is there?
Actually, the funniest thing I ever
heard. There isn't even
a
beach.
There is actually, in Mandalay Bay. There is.
Is that another fake beach?
Oh, of course it is.
In the middle of the desert.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. The funniest thing I heard was I was at the Venice. And
fake Venice.
The Venetian.
Yeah, fake Venice.
Exactly.
Okay.
But this guy was having his argument with his wife saying, "Hey, doll, you know, why are we gonna go to Venice now? We've done it, you know. We got the gondolas, we got the canals. That's it. We've done it.
Yeah,
so funny.
That's Vegas for you, isn't it? All over. It's well worth the laugh. Trust me, Bill in Dumbarton. Bill in Dumbarton's with us. Bill, and you're going to the States, Bill?
Yes, next Sunday.
Wow.
Sunday, where are you going?
Starting in Phoenix and then going on to Dallas and Houston.
Man alive. Great place.
Right?
Yeah.
Reason? Baseball. Baseball season starts next weekend.
Wow.
And I've been working my way around the ballparks over the last few years.
Yeah, you even call it ballparks, just like the Yanks.
I am a long Canadian, so.
Okay, I would just call it baseball stadiums.
Right? Well,
so
ballparks.
It's a sporting break that you go for then.
No, it's culture.
Yeah. A sporting culture, though.
You throw in sort of visits to. I'm going to go to Alice Cooper's town in Phoenix and down to Tombstone to see Wyatt Earp and Johnson Space Center in Houston.
It is culture, actually.
Roller coasters right beside the Dallas ballpark in Arlington.
Are you gonna go to Sedona?
No.
Oh, you can't not go to Sedona. You fall in love.
I haven't got time for that.
You're talking to a married man. Why do you want him to fall in love?
Because the Red Rocks are just incredible, you know. And there are. Do you know there's an Indian tribe that was lost in the rocks of Sedona, and nobody knows where they went to. There's the remains of these Indians and the kind of the carvings and the caves and everything else. And if you take a helicopter and fly across them, because some of these things are inaccessible by road. And I was in this helicopter, had no sides to it. It was literally just open like this, and you're flying through these red canyons. It is the most breathtaking thing I've probably ever done.
When you say breathtaking, you mean scary?
I mean, no, both, actually. I said, you know, up there with the birth of my children, that was probably number two in my life.
In terms of scary.
I've taken the chopper from Vegas down into the bottom of the Grand Canyon. Right.
Yeah, that's also good. Those Indians, you know, they own all that land now. Those guys are reaping rewards at the moment. They found casinos.
Especially the ones that own the casinos, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. They're making a fortune at the moment.
Only because we want to gamble, yeah.
But what about the baseball, though? What about, why follow baseball around the United States?
Why not?
Well,
right? People go to all the 92 Football League stadiums.
Of course they do.
But
they haven't flown right across the Atlantic to get there. Do you know what I mean?
It probably takes me less time to get to Phoenix this year than it takes some people to get to some of the remote stadiums in England.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that quite, but I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
I do know what you mean. Plymouth or Portsmouth, and you want to go up and see Blythe Spartans and things like that. It takes you pretty much a day to drive.
This is true. Where did this penchant, if you like, for following baseball around the United States begin? How long have you been doing it?
10 years.
And where's the best destination that you've been to on those journeys?
Best one? I loved Washington because of all the other things other than the baseball.
D.C.?
D.C., yes, right? Anaheim, because you were next to Disneyland.
Oh, I've been to Anaheim.
The ballpark was in Detroit so far, and Baltimore. that I've been to. Okay. Those two.
Have you been to the Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, I've been to the old one. I started with Yankee Stadium.
Right.
Right. And the way I look, and I did Shea Stadium then as well, and the way I figured is I'll work my way around the 30 now, and then I'll go back and finish the trips by going back and doing Yankee Stadium and Shea Stadium again as the new ones.
You see, I would recommend that people did go and watch a baseball match when they went to the United States, because it's a culture experience that we don't have, and there's a lot more than the baseball to experience it. I went to one Yankee Stadium, but would you go to more than one, Andy?
Personally, no. You know, right. I think it's great. It's a good afternoon's entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the, what do they call them, the guys who...
You chuck the peanuts across.
No, sit in the lorries and they have a drink. What are they? What are they?
What do they call them then, Bill?
What, the guys in trucks that have drinks?
Yeah. Tailgate parties, isn't it?
The car park. Yeah. Tailgating parties.
Yeah.
But that's more for American football.
Yeah, that's football. That's not baseball.
That's because
do you not know the difference?
So far and spend all day
Andy,
queued up.
Yeah. No, I could have told him that, Bill.
When the NFL comes to London.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. We'll do our tailgate parties there, but keep it away from baseball.
That's it. Absolutely. It's more refined at a baseball game.
The World Series has got nothing to do with the world, has it?
No.
It was a newspaper.
No, it was a newspaper.
Just a minute. It relates to the World newspaper.
Yes. Yeah.
They sponsored the original meeting of the champions.
Yeah.
And it was their series. So it was called, and they headlined it. So it was called The World Series.
But having said that, it is essentially the World Series because only the Americans and some South Americans and some Japanese play baseball. Where else is it played in the world?
Well, all throughout Latin America and all through Asia now.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the Yankees, they've got pitchers from Japan and Korea, and have had pitchers from Korea and China.
But crucially, it's not played in the sense of the world, which is the UK, apart, of course, from Finsbury Park in North London, where they play baseball just off Green Lanes.
They play softball all around the country as well, and there is a baseball league, because I umpire baseball here in Glasgow.
Let's not confuse softball and rounders and baseball.
But there is proper baseball leagues in the
is
UK.
There? Oh, I didn't know.
Right,
because
sixteens in Scotland now.
What irritates me is that it was once a cricket pitch on Green Lanes in Finsbury Park, on Green Lanes. It was once a cricket pitch, and then baseball took over. And who says that baseball isn't the Americans' wrong interpretation of cricket? It certainly is in Haringey, North London. Bill, it's been a real pleasure speaking to you. Can I wish you a great flight over to the States and an enjoyable break as well?
Thank you very much, Don.
Yeah, I hope the best team wins.
All the best to you as well. Okay?
Yeah, thank you very much. Safe flight,
okay,
safe
all
journey.
The best for Easter. Bye.
Yeah, 0500 909 693. So generally, we're asking: is it cultural or is it simply sand, sea, and air for your break, Easter or otherwise? Which is the better holiday to have? Please, 0500 909 693 is the number to call if you'd like to join us. 0500 909 693. We've got Andy Mossack from TripReporter.co.uk here with us, suggesting which the best way to enjoy your Easter break is. A couple of thoughts from our listeners on this subject, by the way. Oh, let's go back. Brian says, could your travel expert clear up the new visa rules for Sharm el-Sheikh, as I'm going round in circles with all the information at the moment. Do you know about that?
I didn't think... If you have a British passport, you should be fine.
Should be fine, you're sure?
Should be.
But obviously he's going around in circles with all the information at the moment. He must have tried that. Do you not think they brought in some extra visa requirements because of security issues?
From a British passport perspective...
Yeah, it should be okay.
He should be okay, yeah. Sharm
well, his travel agent should be Egypt able to fill in okay. fill him in on
Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely,
yeah. And also, don't forget to check the Foreign Office website for any updated information on security issues and otherwise. Mm-hmm. Phil in Leeds says, for me, it looks like it's going to be a ski holiday as it's still snowing in the Alps. That ain't bad. And skiing, is that... Can we include
now,
that in cultural?
In some respects, I think so. Yes.
What respects?
Eating.
Yeah.
There's a lot of traditional food.
And there's the après ski
in France and Switzerland.
Après ski, of course.
Après ski, indeed.
And of course, you know, you get to know the culture of all the posh gits as well. It's not just posh people that go skiing nowadays, though, is it?
Not at all.
You see some ruffians on the slopes.
In fact,
although you don't see many black Russians on the
ruffians, black Russians, I said, black ruffians on the slopes. No, no black Russians either, by the way.
No, I haven't seen one of those before.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, I have. Oh, there are a few black Russians. Don't get me wrong. You know, of course.
That's a drink, isn't it?
It is a drink. It is a drink. Yeah, it is a drink as well, amongst other things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the point I'm trying to say is. Skiing, at least for many years, was culturally specific, wasn't it? I mean,
it was seen as a high-end, high-end pastime. Yeah, and there are some really lovely places, particularly like in Italy. There's a place called Medesimo, which is above Lake Help. It escapes me.
One of those big lakes.
It's where Clooney's got his place.
Yeah, and I'm good friends with Clooney, so I ought to know that. Yeah.
But you go up about another 20 minutes drive up the mountain to this place called Medesimo, and it's literally next door to St Moritz.
Oh.
But it's nothing like the price. So you're skiing the same mountain, the same snow, but like a fraction of the price.
And you're not staying in St Moritz with all the rich
people. You're staying in Medesimo, which is beautiful Italian village.
I'd rather stay in
St
Moritz because that's the one that's got all the hype.
Exactly.
So you're saying I can't afford it.
No, I'm saying value for money. It's the same mountain, same snow, but, you know, just around the corner.
And my wife won't even know, hopefully, because I'll change the signs around. So give me the name again.
Medesimo.
M-A-D-I-E-S-S-I-M-O. S-S-I-M-O. Okay. Yeah. I'll tell her it's San Maritz, of course. 0500-909-693. Any other tips for me as well? This from Robert. He says, how about 4 days to Copenhagen and a day in Malmö going over the Øresund Bridge? I know all about this, of course. This is my home territory, virtually. I was in Copenhagen at the beginning of the year.
Hell yeah.
I stayed 4 days in Copenhagen. I wish it was only one day because partly it was cold. It was boring.
What?
Very, 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 very boring. When you've had enough of people cycling around the cities, you just want to leave. And as for Malmö, forget that. You may as well stay in Copenhagen. You know, it's even more boring in Malmö. What can I say? Why are you shaking your head at me
it's
like that?
Unbelievable. Ending? Copenhagen has got, first of all, you've got the
it's got the
best
museum.
Restaurant in the world.
Which is that?
Noma.
I didn't go
Number
there.
One restaurant in the world.
No, really?
No, yeah, really.
I didn't go there because I spent most of my time...
Really, you didn't?
Well, I spent most of the time in Christiania, that's why.
Oh, yes, yeah, on the funny stuff.
No. No, my younger brother's a cop there, you see.
Oh,
I
see.
He's a bad boy cop as well, I should say. So he would just show me around the area and he would show me where he had done raids on people there selling narcotics and so on, and they'd threaten him with guns and all this sort of stuff. He really took me all around, but he showed me the other side of Christiania. Which I'd never seen before, where the original hippies took over all that army complex, as had built these incredible houses and stuff. So I spent a lot of time walking around and seeing what the dream that should have been Christiania, which is this free state gone bad in many respects because the drug dealers have taken over. He told me some incredible statistics about how much money is made from drug exploitation in Christiania and the sort of half a mile around it. It's just incredible amount. It's gangster stuff, you know?
But having said that, it's the third most popular destination in Copenhagen.
Christiania, because that's what people hear. People haven't seen, you see Japanese tourists going there taking photographs. There's nothing like that anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
It's unique. You know, there isn't a kind of a sanctuary for people to just be hippies that's emerged in the 70s. And, well, quite a lot of it is quite, you know, scummy, I think, to be honest. But you love Copenhagen. We'll talk about that more in just a second. 0500-909-693. So generally we're asking, what would you recommend as a perfect Easter break? Is it a get away from it all Easter break? You know, the kind of thing where you're just lazing on a beach somewhere with lots of sun, sea and air? Or is it the hard life, you know, the going to museums and traipsing around cities and trying to discover great restaurants and even floating down a ski slope? Which is the best for you? 0500-909-693.
First for breaking news and the best live sport.
This is BBC Five Live.
It's 3 o'clock.
Five Live on digital, online, smartphone and tablet.
And a look at the weather now, a generally windy night.
Happy. He's not happy. I'll tell you that. Our travel writer and broadcaster Andy Mossack is our guest this morning. He is not happy at all about what I've said about Copenhagen. 0500-909-693. I've simply been asking which is the best getaway for Easter. Many of us will be going away on an Easter break, taking the opportunity to go over to somewhere cultural or somewhere hot or wherever it may be. What is a preference? What is your preference to go away on a break, whether it's Easter or otherwise, to go away to a place where you get your sun, you get your sand, you get the sea and you get the air and you do absolutely nothing but... well, enjoy it. Enjoy the sun, enjoy the sea, enjoy the sand, enjoy the air. Or do you prefer a getaway to be something that's much more culturally relevant, like a tour of a city or a tour of the countryside or visiting museums and learning about the locals, meeting the people, that kind of thing? What do you reckon? 0500 909 693. Go on, Andy. Why are you not happy about what I said about Copenhagen being so boring?
I can't believe. I cannot believe.
Believe
you
it. First believe of it, all, mate. Just believe it.
It's one of the modern design capitals of the world. There's a hotel there that's got a room designed by it now. I can't even remember the name of the designer now, but he's like designed this wing chair, you know, it's like iconic chair.
I'm going to Copenhagen to sit in a wing chair. Is that what you're telling me?
No, you've just got to live the dream.
I'm just going to be honest now.
The canals are lovely, right? All the rivers, yeah? You've got the Little Mermaid, which of course everybody goes to see this tiny little thing, okay?
Yeah.
Right? But Smorgasbord.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, you can get that in IKEA nowadays, you know. You don't have to call that way.
It's not the same.
No, it's not the same, okay.
Okay. Yeah. There's a fantastic hotel just outside the city centre that has 2 million bees living.
2 million bees?
And 2 million bees living on the roof.
Bees?
Bees.
Why do I want to go to a hotel with bees?
Fresh honey.
Fresh honey. I suppose they sting you.
They don't, because they're up there and they collect the honey and it brings it down.
How do you
know?
It only takes one to escape.
No, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Okay. We said the number one restaurant in the world.
Number one. Yeah.
The best restaurant in the world.
Yeah.
Is residing in Copenhagen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tivoli. What a lovely place. Tivoli.
That is just a fairground, isn't it?
It's 1823.
It's a fairground.
Disneyland was based around Tivoli.
It doesn't matter. It's just a fairground, though, isn't it?
Concerts.
The fairground comes to my neighbourhood once a year. I'm happy with that. And if I want a concert, go somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, I think you're just grumpy, aren't you?
I'm not. I'm actually saying that Copenhagen is very boring. That's what I'm saying. And you just got the hump about that. Why?
Some of the composers there.
Yeah.
Fantastic. You know, if you like a bit of culture,
yeah.
I think it's a great city.
Fair enough.
Great city.
Yeah.
But try Finland and Snow Tango.
Oh, it's a great city, but try Finland. You dumped Copenhagen pretty swiftly, haven't you? Great city, but try Finland, yeah. Tell us why we should try Finland.
If Copenhagen doesn't float your boat.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you should go to Finland, who have some very strange little things like wife-carrying championships.
I know. We've done that. We've covered that on the programme,
okay.
Yeah. And when we covered it on the programme, there were some women who didn't find it very funny at all, by the way. So I'm not going there tonight.
But I've been there watching the World Championship Snow Tango. And
snow
that is pretty
tango.
Fun. Yeah. They're all dressed up in their winter costumes and boots and furs and everything else, and they're doing Argentinian tango.
Right.
And the Finns love tango. They are like tango.
They do it in the snow.
They do it in the snow, yeah.
And do they do it with skis or...?
No, they do it with boots and there's probably about 50 or 60 of them doing it collectively until there is one winner.
And it's a laugh, is it?
They take it very seriously, actually.
No, for us.
We're
getting all that way.
I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, Finland it is then. Finland wins out for Scandinavia. But you love that area generally, don't you?
I do.
But for a getaway, though.
I've got a great story, actually.
Go on.
If you want.
Please.
Faroe Islands.
Yeah.
So
This isn't whale hunting time in the Faroe Islands, is it?
No.
Because I don't want to go there then.
No.
Apparently the sea just turns into the Red Sea, if you get me.
No. Okay. We don't do blubber and stuff
like
that.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm in up in the hills above it. I think it's called Tórsvat, which is the capital. Mm. And there's this thing, there's more sheep than people on the Faroe Islands.
Mm.
And the Faroe Islands have this tradition of waving to the trolls when they go through tunnels, just because...
Waving to the trolls?
To the trolls, yeah.
Trolls?
The trolls live in the hills, don't you know that? Right? The trolls are everywhere, and they have to keep them happy, so they wave to them before they go into a tunnel. Yeah. And the pharaohs are all connected by tunnels, a tunnel network. So
are they really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
All those islands are connected by
underground
tunnels. You're kidding?
No.
I honestly didn't know that.
You can drive around all of them. Yeah.
So it's not a ferry system or anything like that.
Well, they have that too.
They have that as well.
You drive it anyway. So I'm above the capital in the only hotel. Decent hotel in the capital, and I'm sitting there minding my own business, surrounded by sheep, and thinking to myself, this is lovely, isn't it? The sun shining and there's sheep everywhere, and suddenly this coach turns up and these very handsome men got out, and they were the Italian national football team coming to play a World
Fairy
Cup
Islands.
Qualifier.
They stuffed them. I
in
remember
the
that
Faroe
one.
Faroe Islands.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And there I am in the middle of nowhere with these superstars, you know, and we spent 2 days hanging out. It was
just
quite
you,
extraordinary.
You and them. Oh, that's great.
You know, it was extraordinary.
And you say your job is hard work. Gosh, not when you go to the Faroe Islands. And that's a good story, by the way.
All right.
I hope you'll dine on that one. I'll certainly bring it up once or twice on the programme. Now, New York, says John in Nottingham. I went there last October. A fantastic place. Even got married there at City Hall. Congratulations to you. In terms of a getaway, though, I know the world has shrunk. It still takes 7 hours to get to New York, and arguably you're going to lose a day in travel plans, particularly when you arrive at JFK.
Well,
you
may 7 hours back.
7 hours back as well, obviously.
Well, it's actually 5 hours.
No, but you virtually lose a day each way, though, don't you? I mean, it's certainly gained that way because you've got to line up at JFK if you go to JFK, but even if you go to, the one in Newark, New Jersey,
yeah.
You end up lining up for about 2 hours before you get through passport control, don't you?
So. I think they've changed a little bit now.
Really?
They've got this sort of Homeland Security have now got the welcoming sign. You get a smile now.
You get a smile.
And they try to expedite you very quickly
in
US speak.
Okay.
They're trying hard. But if you get a bad time when there's like six flights all coming at the same time, it could be pretty.
It still takes a couple of hours to get into the city though from the airport, even if it's JFK, let alone Newark. It's a couple of hours, you know. It's pretty much.
I think you could do it in a weekend. I've done New York in a weekend.
In a weekend, what can you see in a weekend in New York? Then
Manhattan.
What, see all of Manhattan?
All of
it. Weekend?
Just walk everywhere. A little Venice and little Italy.
You love walking, don't you?
I love it. I love walking.
Yeah,
that's why you get to see the real country.
Because we're talking about weekend break. You don't want to come back to work knackered, do you? You want to go back to work fit as a fiddle, having had a restful weekend break, don't you?
You're
walking up and down.
Break is as good as a rest, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but your job is lazing around the sun, isn't it?
You're going to sit for 9 hours on a plane. You get all the rest you need. Actually, here's a top tip.
Go on.
Don't do New York. Think of Philadelphia instead.
Why is that a top tip?
Tax-free.
Talk to me.
Everything's tax-free in Philly.
Talk to me. Tell me how. Why?
It's the shopping capital of the East Coast, and so everything is tax-free.
Why don't we just fly to New York? Because you've got to go to New York, have you? You're not going to go all the way to Zayden's.
Well, if you've done New York, do Philly.
Do it again.
The Philly
Do New York again. Listen to me.
Okay.
Trust me. Go to New York and then just maybe take a train to Philly. Can you do that?
You can do that.
Well,
but you're better
not?
Off flying. Just fly to Philly.
No, I'm not with you there, man. I'm not feeling that one. No, I'm not feeling
Why?
That one at all. Because New York is so close.
Philadelphia,
right?
You've got the music.
Yeah.
Right, the sound of Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know that was in the 70s. It's not like you're going to walk and stumble upon it on the street nowadays.
And
is
you know,
it?
I interviewed.
Go on.
Down in the Sound of Philadelphia studios.
Yeah.
I interviewed. Who's the songwriter? What's his name?
Gaff, Kenny Gamble, half.
Kenny Gamble's
son. Yeah, right, okay.
Kenny Gamble's son, who's taken over, right? And we had a great time. He showed me around. He said, you're sitting in this chair that Michael Jackson sat in when he signed for us. Right? All of
Listen,
that stuff.
Did I tell you what chair you're sitting in right now?
No.
I haven't told you, have I?
He sat here.
No, go on. You, can you tell your story first?
A week after I got
parade.
Back, it burnt down. So I was the last journo to be in the TSOP studios.
I'm not trying to be funny. Could you just stand up and get off that seat and move to the next one, please? please, because we don't want to lose that sleep.
That piano there, me and Mrs. Jones, we wrote that on that piano.
Yeah, and you bumped into Billy Paul, did you, whilst you were there? You didn't? Having that thing with Mrs. Jones?
I'm a bass player. Okay?
Good for you. So I'm a bass player too. I'm a bass. No, honestly, I am.
For a bass player.
Physique. You're trying to sound fat.
No.
Thank you very much.
No,
don't worry. Don't worry. You said it, yeah. You said it.
But I was like a little boy in a toy shop.
Yeah.
I loved it.
No, I can imagine. But for those of us who aren't as musically interested as you are,
okay,
or musically fixated as you are,
yeah,
New York.
I think Philly's got a lot to.
But they never named it twice, did they?
No, wow, that's true.
New York, then.
Philadelphia Freedom.
Yeah, Freedom. Well, anyway. Adrian says, I live in Cornwall with regards to holidays. If I had the chance, I'd go to Bermuda for relaxation on the beach, swimming and diving in warm seas, and a planter's punch. How about that?
Not bad.
Bermuda?
I think it's pretty boring.
Yeah, I think so as well, actually.
Yeah, people walk around with funny shorts and long socks. And
They do. It's a bit boring. Bahamas.
I would recommend the Caymans if you're into
Caymans,
somewhere down there.
Is that not boring as well?
No.
I haven't been there, but
you know,
sure?
There's a place called Stingray City.
As well, yeah.
In the Caymans. Stingray City. You go out and you just stand there and these giant stingrays come and just rest on your arm.
Oh, you expect me to go out and do that? I know what stingrays
it's
do,
fantastic.
Mate.
Fantastic.
Yeah?
No, trust me.
Do you remember Steve Irwin?
Yeah. That was just a freak thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really, what, stingrays are nice and cuddly?
Because this part of the Caribbean,
yeah,
they know that this is where food is. Because the old fishermen have
been cutting
fish for a long time.
Oh, right, it's not us.
No. So they know that it's fish. So they're completely free to come and go as they want, but they all come there naturally. It's not like... I was a bit sort of AC/DC about going there because, you know, I think it's too many tourists are bad for the kind of the natural habitats. But when you do it and you experience these beautiful creatures just come and sit on you this with your arms out, and they just swim around you. They're not interested in you. They're just quite like the idea of humans.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic experience.
Yeah. I'm sure it is. I just get that feeling that, you know, it's like somebody saying to me, you know, all these lions that are all around you, know, they're really friendly, you know.
Well,
they just love being around humans, you know, just nice.
The other thing I did, which was pretty emotional for a hard bit, an old travel journo like me, seen it all, done it all, supposedly.
Yeah.
Okay. I went horseback riding in the ocean or in the Caribbean.
Oh, this sounds good.
And this was at sort of sunset.
Yeah.
And I'm walking along, you know, on this horse, and then we move into the sea. And it's
trotting along, because you don't walk along unless the horse is on your back.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah,
and it was right up to it comes up to my waist as I was on this
the ocean.
Steed.
Yeah. The ocean.
Yeah.
Comes up to your waist.
My waist on a horse.
But so the horse
so
is
his neck
barely
is coming out. He's loving it.
Is he?
Yeah, he's loving it. And it was just me and the horse, and I had a moment, and there were tears in my eyes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
No, I can imagine that, actually.
Yeah.
That
sounds, I fell in love.
Yeah. It's like one of those adverts, isn't it?
It was. Yeah. All I needed was the strings. Yeah.
Should have brought your own. Don't use the horse's mane for that,
oh,
you know.
It was beautiful.
That's for a violin bow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How about the Bahamas then? The Bahamas.
Yeah, boring. I'd
Bahamas?
Yeah.
I just, there's 700 islands to choose from. How can it be boring?
For me.
St. Kitts is only a little rock in the ocean.
Nah.
It's a volcano.
Yeah, but it's, you know.
Come on.
Well, okay. Well,
come on.
I'm sorry. I
Archipelago of 700 islands versus St. Kitts. Come on.
Nevis is two.
Again, right? A volcano. Come on.
Nah. Listen, does the Bahamas have a music festival?
It does, actually.
Does it?
It does, because I went there for the jazz music festival.
Okay.
When they started it, they've got their own indigenous music called rake music. And I'll tell you what rake is like. Rake is like what skiffle was here 50, 60 years ago, because they use all these instruments, you know, play a lot on bottles and things like that. Yeah. It's rake like the sound. And it's beautiful music, by the way. And they do have a jazz festival there once a year as well. So beat that.
No, I think everyone thinks the Caribbean islands are all the same, but they're not. They're not. Different.
Jamaica's
they're
the best one. Everybody knows that. Jamaica's the best one. Don't even argue with that. Please don't argue on this program with it, because I have to go home to my wife.
I love reggae.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
That's as good a reason as any to go to Jamaica. What about this, though, from MH, who says, visit Leicestershire in the centre of England, the burial place of King Richard III.
Very legal,
he's only just been buried there, and they're already trying to sell it as the burial place of Richard III. Fair enough. Walk in Bradgate Park, the home of Lady Jane Grey, the nine-day queen, of course. The Seven Locks on the Canal at Foxton, unspoilt towns and villages. Bosworth Battlefield, of course. That's where King Richard met his end. Eat food from every country, friendly people, the National Space Centre. I didn't know that was there, the National Space Centre. Did you know?
No, I didn't.
Have you been to Leicester?
I've been there to see a football match.
Even I've been there for longer than that. Even I've been there for longer than that. But it does raise
it's
a point.
It's on my to-do list.
It does raise a point, you know, that we started off talking about. When we've got these few days of a getaway, okay, it's fair enough if you're adventurous enough to go to New York or Philly or... Mm. You know, wherever, or Finland or Denmark, as you would have it, Copenhagen, for a few days. But we've got all these great places on our doorstep that we take for granted to a certain extent.
Absolutely, we have, yeah. I mean, again, you know, the Midlands, the North, the Lake District, you know, fantastic places. And
I wouldn't recommend the Lake District over Easter only because it is proper crowded over Easter.
It
proper.
It is.
I mean, should have been there.
Fantastic.
You should have been there a week ago in the Lake District. Lot less traffic going around there, but over the Easter period, it's back to back traffic. In fact, it's probably busier than in the summertime, if you can imagine that, in the Lake District. It's just not fun, is it?
Yeah. I mean, you've got to pick it. Unfortunately, some people don't get the choice, do they?
Yeah.
You know, school holidays and everything else.
Sure. In terms of the Lake District, North Lakes versus South Lakes, where do you stand?
I think they're both equal.
North Lakes.
I've got a lot of friends in the Lake District.
Yeah.
Tourism.
So
I don't like to upset.
I knew you would like to upset them, but I who don't have any friends amongst them can tell you, make the effort to go north. Make the effort. Okay. Everybody goes north, gets a little bit scarier on the landscape in terms of travelling across the north side, but it is worth the extra effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been along the peaks in Derbyshire?
Not as I should have. Not,
beautiful.
I wish I had, and I will do very shortly, I'm sure.
Yeah. There's the grave of Little John there too, you know.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. As in Little Robin John, Hood. Robin Hood, the fantasy figure from fiction, yeah?
The real Little John, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, as far as you're concerned.
It looks a very, very old grave.
Yeah, Friar Tuck is right next to him as well, yeah? Friar Tuck is there as well. And Maid Marian, perhaps, Arthur and the Round Tables. Yeah, we could go on and on forever, of course, on this moment. Now, okay, Copenhagen, this is from John. Are you sure that the hotel with the honey producers was a proper hotel and not a, you know, a place for bees that also offered some lodging? He says.
It was a proper hotel.
Okay,
just
checking.
Yeah.
Because he said he also went to Copenhagen a few years ago in the summer, and there are approximately 100 men dressed in Father Christmas outfits at the main station all the way along the platform after attending a Father Christmas convention. Oh, that's a good reason to go then in the summer.
Father Christmas convention?
Yeah, Father Christmas or Santa Claus or whatever you want to call him.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not bad, is it?
That's
go
not
to
bad.
Copenhagen, you get to see that. Almost matches your going to Finland for the snow tango.
Snow tango.
Snow tango in Finland or Father Christmas in the summer. 100 Father Christmases in the summer in Copenhagen. Which would you go for?
Oh, I'd go snow tango any day.
But you love Copenhagen so much.
I do.
You know, you couldn't believe that I thought it was boring. 100 Father Christmases isn't boring, is it?
It's literally not.
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho.
You were ready for that. I set you up for that. You banged the ball into the net just as you were supposed to do in any case. Anyway, I cannot believe that people dancing tango over the snow. Can't believe that, says Diego in Buenos Aires, Argentina, the home of tango. He says, I cannot believe people dance tango over snow. I'm from Argentina and I'm absolutely delighted with your story about it. I mean, delighted in the sense of rolling down the aisles of that one and hopefully keeping that one for some tango experiences in Argentina. Have you been to Argentina?
It's on my to-do list. I haven't got. I want to go right down south to Tierra del Fuego, where the,
the
icebergs are breaking and the penguins and all that kind of thing. They say it's in some respects, it's much better than the Galapagos now, because the Galapagos is kind of overrun.
Yeah, overrun. And, it was bound to be.
The south of Argentina is just like the Galapagos.
Well, it's rough there, you know. It's rough if you go there by boat. There was a reason they called it Tierra del Fuego. You know that?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, there was a proper reason. It's rough it's around rough. That cape, yeah?
Yeah.
So don't go.
That railway is called the Railway of the End of the World, is what they call it.
Tierra del Fuego?
Yeah.
Tierra del Fuego is Land of Fire, isn't it?
Land of Fire, but there's a railway.
Oh, okay.
That goes along the coast across the bottom, and it's called the Railway of the End of the World.
Okay. Well, it virtually is at the end of the world as well. There. Nick in London says, best wishes, by the way. He says, your discussion with Andy about cultural destinations reminds me that Dennis Thatcher, the late Margaret Thatcher's late husband, was once asked what was his favourite city in the whole world. And he could have answered Paris or Rome or Madrid or Venice, but apparently he replied, Dallas.
Really?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
What's wrong with that?
Texas is fantastic. Yeah. Dallas is great.
Dallas? I've only been to Houston.
Have you?
And that was just a big sprawl.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah. I've been to Houston twice now, actually. Huge sprawl. I can't get out of it because I've got an older brother who lives there as well.
I don't know what Dennis saw in Dallas.
Yeah, well, could have been the TV program.
Yes, could have been. Austin is my favourite Texan city.
Austin, and you've got to go there when that...
Keep it weird.
Keep it weird, is that their motto?
That's their slogan, yeah.
Oh, I can believe it. They have that on the car number plate.
Yes.
Keep it weird. But that's where the South by Southwest Festival is on, isn't it?
Yes, that's absolutely right.
That's a good reason to go there. Oh, is it cowboy town, though?
No. It's Techco now, because they've got... which is the big computer manufacturer? Is it HP?
Hewlett Packard, it could be. Yeah,
one of those is based there.
Yeah,
but it's got amazing university too. So it's a really young, vibrant city, and I love it.
I think it's the hometown of Sleepy John S. as well. If I'm correct, is in the blues guitarist and singer. Was it Lightning Hopkins? Maybe.
No, the country singer.
But I'm thinking Lightning Hopkins as well. Austin, Texas sounds like Lightning Hopkins area to me as well. Anyway, this isn't a music phone in. Whilst you think about that, maybe I can move on and say Dave, who's in Guangdong in China, says culture for him rather than Sanxi and beaches and sun and air and all that. Mm. He says temple hopping in Southeast Asia, Laos, Myanmar, Thailand and Cambodia. Great history, food and value. I'm biased, though, as I live in Asia, so it's only a couple of hours flight away. And we used to do a Cambodia desk every week. And I know that our correspondent there, who was Guy Delaunay at the time, used to tell us about going temple hopping, as it were, from one place to another around Cambodia, because they're in a great tug of war over their temples with Thailand on the border there as well. Have you been to that region?
I have. Yeah, it's fabulous. Very, very interesting. In fact, I was in Taiwan about 3 weeks ago for the Lantern Festival, which is what they herald the new year. And these giant lanterns, some of them were 27 meters high, quite unbelievable. And it was there was like over 50,000 people in this stadium, and the Prime Minister was there, I think, and the President, and the whole thing was a spectacle. Really was quite something.
So they let the lanterns go up in the air. Then
there was two parts. They had the fire lanterns. Sky lanterns, you light a fire underneath them and they go up. But these were giant lanterns that were made by local designers. And the biggest one was, because it's the year of the goat, so it had this amazing golden ram. And it was, you know, like I said, 30 metres high. And they lit it with strobes, and there was fireworks behind it. And it was just... an incredible sight, and I thought to myself, wow, I am here sharing this experience with 50,000 Taiwanese. You know, it's something special, and that to me is what travel's all about.
Of course. How far is the furthest you would recommend that people go on something like an Easter break?
Amazingly, you can get, you know, the south of France is an hour by flight, something like that, hour and 15 minutes, and you're down in the south of France. I like that. Portugal, same time zone, so there's no
It's more about 2 hours, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit more, but you get there's no time zone change, so that's also good. And I think anywhere in Europe now is very accessible. Take the train.
Yeah.
And in fact, the good news is that the Eurostar is going right down to the south of France July.
At the same speed?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it gets to Paris in 2 hours.
Yeah, and then you're going to carry on.
So you'd be able to go all the way to the south of France.
It ends in Marseille.
And Marseille is such a beautiful city, mate. I'd recommend that.
Yeah. It's all right, isn't it?
Got stuck there in my hitchhiking days, but I didn't mind for a moment. In fact, decided to camp out there for a few days, sleeping rough and that kind of thing. Back in those days, you could do it. I would recommend it. Maybe now things have changed. Certainly don't hitchhike because nobody does that anymore.
But King's Cross to Marseille in 4.5 hours.
It's been a real pleasure, Andy. Andy Mossack here has been our guest for this phone-in. Hopefully you come back again and we'll speak some more about your travel destinations. Andy is from tripreporter.co.uk. Let's get the latest.